just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello there. How are you? This is Mrs. Waite, and I'm very glad to be here today. I don't know if you've ever met my husband, so I thought I would introduce you to him today. His name is D.A. Waite, Dr. D.A. Waite, and my husband has two earned theological degrees. One is a theological degree, and one is a doctor of philosophy, doctor of theology, doctor of theology. Hi, Dr. Waite.
Hello.
My microphone's much louder today. I'm almost knocking myself out, but I have a cold, so it's hard for me to talk, and so I thought maybe you could talk and tell us about your book, The Superior Foundation of the King James Bible. It's a beautiful book. It has a bridge like on it with big orange words that say King James Bible, and then the pillars that hold up the bridge says Israel, Church, Hebrew Masoretic Text, Greek Received Text. So tell us about that, Dr. Waite.
Well, it's a book about the foundation of the King James Bible. Very important. Foundations are important in anything. If you have the foundation of a house, is it built on sand? Is it built on rock? As the Lord Jesus said in His Word, and so the foundations of our King James Bible, we believe, are superior. Superior Hebrew foundation in the Old Testament, Hebrew Masoretic Text, and superior Greek New Testament foundation in the New Testament. So that's what the book is about, these foundations.
Good. Now let's see how many pages there are. 95 pages. There's some that includes a few advertisement order blanks, but
about 96 pages altogether.
Good. And how many chapters? Three? What do you think?
The sections are two main sections. First, the King James Bible is God's words kept intact because of its superior Old Testament Hebrew words. And the second division is the King James Bible is God's words kept intact because of its superior New Testament Greek words.
Oh, good. Now, it says here on page one, introductory comments. So maybe you can tell about your book, Defending, and the chapters that you're using here.
Well, in the book that we got out many years ago called Defending the King James Bible, we had five chapters, and this was chapter number two, basically, but I revised it, reworked it, because the first chapter of the Defending the King James Bible talks about the preservation of the words of God, Hebrew words, Aramaic words, and Greek words. Chapter two talks about the superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. Chapter 3, the superior translators. Chapter 4, the superior technique of translation. And chapter 5, the superior theology. Those fourfold superiorities. This was chapter 2. I thought I would bring it up today and put it just in one booklet so that people could see the foundations of our Bible. This should be the foundation of any Bible. And this was the foundation, for instance, of Dr. Humberto Gomez's Spanish Bible. And it should be the foundation of any Bible that's translated anywhere in the world.
That's right. We were just in Mexico a few weeks ago, and you gave a series of lectures on this book, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That was good, and then you're going to give this to some college or seminary or something.
Yes,
soon.
We're in Pontiac, Michigan. We're going to go to a Baptist college, and this will be the basic foundational message for the young people, the students that are there.
And I see here on page 3 about the Masoretes. Masoretes and how they handed down the text from generation to generation. Who were the Masoretes?
Masoretes are called traditionalists. Masar in the Hebrew means to hand down or to be traditional. And so the Masoretes had the text, and it was the text that was given to them by Moses originally, the original writer of the first five books, and all the other writers, so David and Samuel, other things, the Old Testament, the different authors. And that text, we believe, was preserved right until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he talked to the two on the road to Emmaus, for example, in Luke chapter 24, he opened up the scriptures and talked to these two and told them all the things written concerning him in the law, prophets and the writings, those threefold division of the Hebrew text, and he never corrected a single word of those Old Testament Hebrew manuscripts. We believe God preserved them inviolate, without any error, to his time, and then from his time to the invention of printing, Gutenberg, and whatever that date was, 1450, or somewhere like that, preserved those words as well to our day, and now in the words underlying the King James Bible, we believe they're preserved as well.
So we have, when we have these new versions that we have today, most of them don't use this text passed down by the Masoretes, right? Or do they?
No, they don't. They have a changed text. The text that underlies the King James Bible was basically the text of Ben-Kaim. Ben-Kaim, that's the Second Rabbinic Bible, about 1525 is the date of it. And from that date, 1525, for the next 400 years, there was no question as to what the Hebrew text was, what the word was, the words were that underlie that of the King James Bible. But then in 1937, Rudolf Kettle changed that, and instead of using the Ben-Kaim edition, he used the Ben-Asher edition. And that's the Biblia Hebraica of Kittel is the original Bible that he had. And then in 1937, it was the Biblia Hebraica of Stuttgart-Tensia, was Stuttgart, Germany, and that came out in 1967. The problem with both the Kittel Bible that we used at Dallas Theological Seminary, Biblia Hebraica of Kittel and of Stuttgart, is that they had the text at the top, which is a little different text. We don't know exactly where the differences are, but they had the Hebrew at the top. But in the bottom, the footnotes, they had from 20,000 to 30,000 different footnote suggestions how to change that top text of Hebrew. And those changes, there are at least 19 different changes that they suggest in the NIV, for example, the New International Version. And that's the problem. They don't agree, and these new versions take the Biblia Hebraica, either Stuttgart or Rudolf Kittel, as their Bible. And therefore, when they want to change the wording of the Old Testament, for example, they go along with the Septuagint or go along with some other footnote change, they go ahead and do that. We think that's very seriously wrong.
And the same thing in the New American Standard Version?
It's the American Standard Version, English Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version. All these new versions that have come out are basically following a Hebrew text that they don't have to follow only the Hebrew. They can change it by these 19 suggested changes that are listed there in the book. Number 17 and 18, you see all these different suggested changes.
That new one, what is it, the ESV or something?
The English Standard
like
Version, that's right.
Did you mention that one?
The English Standard Version uses the wrong Hebrew Old Testament text as well. And, of course, that's the version that is in the bookstore at Bob Jones University. They go ahead with that. They go along with the New American Standard Version. Both these versions are using the wrong basic Hebrew underlying text and the wrong translation techniques as well.
Can we see on page 6 here, the New King James Version has a mixed Old Testament base.
Yes, it has a mixture. And because they say right there in their preface that the Latin Vulgate, Septuagint, Symmachus, various things that they say is the basis that they have. It's mixture, but it's still not the proper one that they should have.
Tell us about the Jews and how they say the scriptures. Like page 7, the Old Testament Hebrews were accumulated by the Jews.
Well, it was accumulated by the Jews through the various years, and it was not only accumulated by the Jews, but it was attested by the evidence and accepted by the churches. So the Jews, first of all, got it together. Every one of the Old Testament writers was a Jew. I believe every one of the New Testament writers was a Jew. Some people try to say that one of the authors was not a Jew, but I believe, according to the study, that all of them were Jews. And it says very clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. God entrusted his words to the Jews, Old and New Testament words as well.
The oracles of God, that was the Bible,
that's
right?
The Bible, the words of God, the oracles of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a few minutes, or not too much, but on page 9 we have the methods of the Old Testament, how it was guarded and how it was written. You want to go over those rules, 8 rules?
Yes, they had 8 rules that the Jews used to guard every single word The first one is the parchment had to be made from the skin of a clean animal and prepared by Jews only and fastened together with clean animal strings. The second one, each column had to be no less than 48 or more than 60 lines. You know, the entire copy had to be lined. They were very careful on this. They did not want to be falling down and twisting the length of the lines and having arcs and be untidy. Third, the ink must be no other color than black. Special recipe. Number four, the fourth rule, no word or letter could be written from memory. The scribe had to have an authentic copy before him. He must read and pronounce aloud each word before writing it. So some believe that there were two, at least two there. One was the reading, and the other was the one that was writing. But they had to have the accurate copy, and they just had to listen to. Then the fifth rule, he had to wipe his pen each time before writing the word for God, which is Elohim. And he had to wash his whole body before writing the name of Jehovah, which is translated in the King James, all capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The sixth rule, strict rules were given concerning the forms of the letters, spaces between the letters, words and sections, use of the pen, and so on. The seventh rule, the revision of a roll must be made within 30 days after the work was finished. Otherwise, it was worthless. One mistake on a sheet condemned the sheet. If there were three mistakes found on any page, the entire manuscript was condemned. Imagine having all this Old Testament with all this 39 books almost finished.
What if a scribe went from Genesis through to Malachi and found three mistakes?
The whole thing was condemned according to this rule. See, that's a strict rule. The eighth rule, every word and every letter was counted. And if a letter were omitted, an extra letter inserted, or if one letter touched another, the manuscript was condemned and destroyed at once. These eight rules show the care of the Jews for the Old Testament Hebrew. And that's why we shouldn't let Gentiles, these higher critics and other people that think they know so much, they shouldn't tamper with what God has given to us in the Hebrew text. In fact, there's a recent move now that was started way back many years ago, but it's being rushed by many Hebrew scholars to make a Hebrew text, just like they've done with a critical text in the Greek, with all the different footnotes and how to change this and change that and so on. It's coming. And they're going to rip that to shreds just like they've done with the New Testament.
If you would like to have this book, just call 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for the book we were talking about, The Superior Foundation of the King James Bible. 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for the book. We'll send it to you free of charge.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?